There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
This is Chip Brown today filling in for the great Sean Sullivan with my friend Dalton Arwig sitting in the co-chair beside me.
Yes, sir. Great to have you here today. Sean, he's had some good guests, but I've been really looking forward to having you in here on today. You know, I've been looking forward to it. So I don't think I've actually sat with you in front of the microphone before, so I'm really looking forward to today's show.
Thank you, Dalton. I think the last time I was back in the studio was it was several years ago. I was in talking about Bo Bergdahl, the traitor.
Yeah.
And the day that he was brought back by the Obama administration and praised by the Obama administration and as a hero.
Yep.
And a traitor, praising a traitor, in my opinion.
Yeah, that Rose Garden ceremony, and when you came on, there were still so many people, praising Bergdahl, basically, and you really laid out the story of what actually went on over there.
Yeah, that's right. I actually was in Afghanistan that day and happened to be at the NATO headquarters the day he was released, and, we knew the true story within minutes of what was going on, so... just one more political spin by the previous administration, but fortunately we've now Trump is in office. If you looked at the approval ratings today, he's up over 50% in the Rasmussen poll. A lot of people are crediting that. He went on Rush Limbaugh's show yesterday. Rush had his 30th anniversary and he was on Rush Limbaugh and had a conversation, and of course Rush is touting that's why.
Yeah,
Trump's numbers are so high.
It was all Rush, I'm sure.
Yeah, sure, exactly. But it's a lot of big news going on locally with the stadium issue out at Ladd Stadium and the new stadium potentially on Campus Stadium at South Alabama. Had Davidson High School.
Yeah, that new Davidson video that came out yesterday. Now, there's been two new families that have filed lawsuits against the Mobile County Public School System, and there was a new video out of a student there at Davidson, and it was outside of the classrooms. I believe it was on the school property, but just a brutal, brutal beating that this kid... that they did to this kid. Looked like 5 to 7 students. So there has been a lot of big local news and a lot of city council talk, whether it's the stadium like you just mentioned, and they've intertwined that Ladd Peebles Stadium with the new South Alabama on campus stadium, and the council not too happy that those two issues were intertwined. Now pushing that vote back until August 14th has now been pushed back twice.
Well, I understand that from the standpoint of Ladd Stadium is basically a monument. I've even heard people reference the monuments bill that Governor Ivey signed into law a few years ago. I don't think Ladd Stadium was the intent of that piece of legislation, but I've heard people reference that as Ladd Stadium being an icon, and but on the other side, I've heard people reference that we've South Alabama, to continue to grow and to recruit and to be a regional power, needs an on-campus stadium. It's one of those things. It's a quality of life issue for the students, and in turn, that brings in more students who want to stay here, and the economy grows, everything.
Well, we were talking before the show because we both went to Troy University.
That's right.
Both
proud Troy alumnus.
Yeah. I went there for 2 years and then transferred down here to Mobile and finished my college career, my successful college career at South Alabama. So it's tough for me when South plays Troy. I root for South when they play against each other, but all the rest of the time I'm a big Troy Trojan fan. And we were saying how different the game day experience is for a student that lives on the Troy campus and a student that lives on the South Alabama campus, and how important it is, in my opinion, to have that on-campus stadium. And I went to so many games when I went to Troy. I lived in Alumni Hall for a couple years and just walked right down the road to the stadium and watched plenty of games. And I know when I went to South, when I transferred down here, lived on South's campus, I barely made it to any of the games over at Ladd Peebles.
Well, and it does make a difference, and especially, you know, now TV dollars with ESPN owning so many video rights, the Sun Belt Network, even the SEC Network, all of them are pushing towards weekday games to fill schedules. And I think, as a matter of fact, when Troy played South Alabama last year, it was on a Thursday night. And I think this year, if I'm not mistaken, it's on a Tuesday night.
Oh, okay.
So you look at games, and that will be back here in Mobile this year. So when you look at games like that in particular, it's hard to even halfway fill up an off-campus stadium on a weekday night when students have classes, whereas if you do have an on-campus stadium, they can just walk across campus and go to the game. And, it's one thing. One of the things that happened in Troy several years ago was that the city bought into the athletic facilities. And from what I mean by that is, if you the stadium at Troy, as nice as it is, the local high school team uses the stadium. They have the Alabama Independent Athletic Association high school championships are in Troy. They use it for band camps. I was in Troy last Friday, and they were having a band camp going on the field. By the city buying in, it just totally changed the dynamics of the university and of the community.
Do you think because just the size alone, the size difference between Mobile County and Troy, that the athletics there at Troy University just mean that much more to the city? They don't have so many other things. I mean, they don't have all the water nearby that we have here. There's so many things that are important to Mobilians and to the city council, to the county commission here. There's so many different balls they have to juggle in the air, where in Troy, I imagine that university is a big, big deal to them. So they're maybe more willing to support the university than they are here in Mobile.
Well, that's true. I mean, you know, just the size of Troy itself is, I think, under 20,000, the city. So when you take that in, everyone has some connection with the university. So when you get into a city the size of Mobile, you know, what, around 200,000, that sort of thing, and then you get the surrounding metro area, which is one of the largest in the state, you have so many people that really have no connection to South Alabama because they've moved here or they went to other universities and they don't understand the importance of the role that South Alabama plays, not only locally, but also nationally. I mean, you look at things like the Cancer Institute. I mean, they're doing cutting-edge research out at South Alabama. And that money to fund those programs, a lot of that comes from athletics. So if you support the athletic program, then in turn you're supporting the academic programs as well.
I know a lot of the discussion about this stadium, the people that are changing Ladd, turning it into maybe more of a high school facility with the, I know they've talked about splash pads and making it more of a neighborhood component for the people that live there near Ladd, changing it up, and that's been a whole part of this discussion. But a lot of people say that if they move south move the stadium to South's campus, that people won't travel from downtown. They won't travel from over in Baldwin County because it's that much more of a drive. I have trouble believing that.
Of course, the opposite argument of that was made with the Bay Bears. You know, I remember years ago when they proposed the Bay Bear Stadium, and the argument, one of the site locations that they looked at was right next to the battleship. Some of the land beside the battleship where the Corps dumps their spoils right there. And they talked about, oh, that'd be a great spot from, you know, downtown. But then it was, people wouldn't travel from West Mobile to see the Bay Bears. So let's put it off of the interstate. It's a great spot where people will travel from Baldwin County and from Mobile County, and it's easy to get to. But now we see the fate of the Bay Bears, moving to Huntsville in 2 years. And so, you know, there's no right answer to that. I'm sure someone does the demographics on that, and they do the studies of who actually attends the game. I mean, I've been involved in some of that in the past, and I tell you what, you can break that down to where you know money spent, how much where people travel in a radius of, you're seeing that with the airport right now, the move to push it downtown. You know, if you look at the study on that, on the financial study and the financial impact study of that, it's done based upon a perimeter of the people that currently travel to the airport are from so many miles, and they'll extend that and that sort of thing. So.
Right, because you would depend on, I know we're jumping around a lot here, but for the airport, for instance, you want the Baldwin County people to come over and fly out of Mobile, not Pensacola, and prices have a lot to do with that, but the prices are a little bit higher than they need to be because people aren't flying out of Mobile, so they got to get that money somehow, maybe moving it to Brooklee. There's so much going on in the city, whether we're talking the I-10 River Bridge, the stadium debate, Bay Bears moving out. There's just a lot going on here in Mobile.
That's right. Mobile's on a roll.
Yes, sir. 12:17 now, FM Talk 106.5. Chip Brown sitting in for Sean Sullivan on Midday Mobile. And we'll come back right back right after this break. We're going to hit the WKRG News.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
It's Chip Brown sitting in for the legendary Sean Sullivan, who's taking some much-needed time off after the brutal primary and runoff season here in Alabama.
I'm not sure. I think you probably had a little bit more busy primary than we did here at the station.
I did. I was a little active in the primary.
Well, what's up? What do you have from here on out? Because you're in, right?
Yeah, I am. Actually, I won the primary for. Those of you who don't know, I'm the House Republican House. Well, I'm the House District 105 representative elect for South Mobile County. Won my primary with 54%, and so I escaped. Was fortunate enough to escape a runoff and. I don't have a Democrat opponent in the fall, so I'll be sworn in November. Mm-hmm. The House is unique in that because we have a fiduciary duty, you actually take office a few minutes after midnight on November the 6th on Election Day, and then you're sworn in about a week later.
What's your what's your schedule kind of look? What is it like to not have an opponent for the general? What do you do from now until November?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about that is that I don't actually take office until November. I'm David Sessions, the great David Sessions, legendary in South Mobile County, is moving up and running for the Senate. And he's Senate District 35. But by not having an opponent, I don't have to make campaign preparations, that sort of thing. But, you know, I'm already more or less kind of working in that role.
Right.
On Friday, I met with the Japanese General Counsel. We talked about possible trade opportunities and economic development. There's a couple of Japanese companies here, Mitsubishi being one of them. And House District 105 is unique in that we're home now to the Walmart distribution center. We're home to Amazon distribution center. You know, I'm going to meetings this past Saturday. The speaker had all of the Republican nominees.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us don't have opponents in the fall, and some of us do, to meet for our first House Republican Caucus meeting and talk about agendas and that sort of thing.
Very cool. And you just mentioned Amazon and a couple other companies and being down here in Mobile. What do you think about all the growth of those big companies coming to town?
You know, I think it's great. I mean, because it's more jobs, and if you look at it, most of those jobs go to local people that live here. And so if you do that, if you bring in good-paying jobs, good clean industry, then you're employing local people in the construction trade and, you know, in long-term jobs. But also the spinoff effect of that is, if you noticed over the last several years after Airbus came in,
mm-hmm.
when Airbus came in, other companies came in, and when other companies came in, you saw things like McGowan Place Shopping Center pop up. If you rode around Mobile, you're seeing, you know, new storefronts pop up, and you're seeing old shopping centers get new, get facelifts, get new facades, and because nobody wants to have the worst shopping center in Mobile, you know.
Right.
So with that comes spinoff jobs, more expendable income for people, and I'm excited about, you know, my district in South Mobile County of a lot of the opportunities that are happening now and are on board to happen over the next several years.
And of course, the biggest race coming up in November, that gubernatorial race, maybe not the closest race as far as the polling looks right now, and we've been discussing for weeks now whether Governor Kay Ivey should debate Walt Maddox, and I think most of the discussion has come to a consensus of politically probably the best move is to not debate. As if you're Kay Ivey, the best move politically is maybe not to debate. I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, I saw a poll yesterday that was she was 14 points up, and you know the whole generic Republican ballot was up by double digits. I think it's going to be a pretty decent race. I mean, Walt Maddox is he's young, he's dynamic. He's done good things in Huntsville. I mean, in Tuscaloosa. And I don't know him. Everyone I know says he's a heck of a nice guy, that sort of thing. But, you know, I think Governor Ivey has done a great job in office. I make no bones about it. As a Republican, I support Governor Ivey. It's a tricky thing because I could see from her consultants telling her to stay away from it. I mean, you know, she is older, and there's opportunities to potentially make mistakes in a debate that could haunt her. Unintentional mistakes, but you know, I like talking with people. I like discussing issues. I like getting out there, that sort of thing. So, you know, as a candidate, I would advise her to debate. But I understand why she would not debate. And being the incumbent, I don't know that she has to.
Yeah, that's kind of along the lines of what I'm thinking. And unfortunately, you know, we're always asking for debates and love the presidential debates when those campaigns come up. But it never seems like everybody thinks it's a good way to figure issues out. But it seems like the debates I've seen, we haven't really gotten. I mean, there's good sound bites that come up, and sometimes somebody slips up like Rick Perry did years ago.
Right.
But it seems like, you know, we really don't figure out as much from debates as people think we do. It ends up being who's the better orator sometimes.
Well, and that's kind of always been the way debates are after the television age. You know, you get back and, you know, Jack Kennedy versus Nixon in 1960, you know, Nixon swore till his dying days that he'd lost that race because of his debate with Jack Kennedy, which everyone agreed that he won on the substance, but the black and white TV showed Nixon to have a heavy beard, he looked tired, and Kennedy was young, fresh, you know, rather dynamic candidate, and, you know, that helped propel him into the presidency. So particularly in today's society where we're in a gotcha society. We're waiting for someone to say something that can be nailed into a 30-second soundbite and get you during a campaign, whether it's true or not. And so, you know, that's where we are with debates right now. It's not necessarily the substance. It's the soundbite quality.
How much do you think is at stake for us here in Mobile and Baldwin counties with this gubernatorial election? I mean, do you think that either candidate will be of more, you know, will be more willing to kind of give us what we want and what we need down here?
Well, I'll tell you what, there's a lot at stake for Mobile County, Baldwin County, South Mobile County, all of us. You know, we have the I-10 bridge, mm-hmm. the state docks, which our state docks is truly second to none. You know, we're competing every day for trade opportunities, not just regionally, but globally. You know, we have the new container terminal down at the docks. And so that, along with infrastructure and environmental issues, I think a lot is at stake in this race.
We do have we have some calls stacking up. We've got about a minute here. We'll go to you already taking a call right
now? Sure.
Okay, cool. We'll go to Thomas and Theodore. Hey, Thomas.
Good afternoon. I think, first of all, most mistakes are unintentional, don't you?
Usually, yeah.
But
yeah,
in
sure.
any event, I think the people were tired of listening to these politicians, and we're tired of these corrupt politicians, and we don't want to try a fair tax and a new tax We don't want a garbage fee. We don't want this. We just would like to be left alone for a while, let the government operate without us having to tear our hair out. So we're going to, our taxes are going to be increased, or the water is bad, or something is, you know, it's like Trump keeps us uneasy, and we have so much, you know, we're popping pills all the time because of this guy.
hey, Thomas, we got to run real quick. Hit that, I thought that might happen. Talk to Thomas a lot on the phone every day, actually, and run to the bottom of the hour. But we'll be right back. Looks like Steve McNair on the line.
Oh, great.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Chip Brown and Dalton Orwig joining you today. We were recently talking about economic development and some of the big changes going on in the Mobile area, and I want to bring on someone who's intimately involved in that, Stephen McNair, who's with McNair Historic Preservation, who's doing a lot of the work on big buildings downtown and is a vital part of the economy. Stephen?
Chip, good afternoon. Dalton, how are you?
Hey, doing great, Stephen. How's your Thursday going?
It's wide open, as they say. And I tell you, before we get to downtown economic development, let me send out a sincere congratulations on a job well done in your campaign and a well-deserved victory for South Alabama.
Well, thank you, Stephen. I appreciate that. And we've got a big turnover in the delegation in Mobile and Baldwin County. There'll be a lot of new freshmen coming in. We got people like Shane Stringer up in House District 102 in North Mobile County, and we've gonna potentially have David Sessions down in South Mobile County, Jack Williams, Matt Simpson potentially over in Baldwin County. So it's gonna be a big turnover in the delegation.
Well, I'm sure you've got big shoes to fill, but you'll be fine. And I'm certainly glad to be on the radio today talking with you all about downtown Mobile and all the great things that are happening and all the great things that can happen in our great city.
Well, that's great. Tell us a little bit about what some of the projects that you have going on and their potential impact to downtown, and not just downtown, but the region itself. Things like the I-10 Bayway, well, the I-10 Bridge and the widening of the Bayway.
Sure. The first thing that we've been focusing on at downtown Mobile is bringing in more residential units. And so, you know, by partnering with developers and property owners over the past 3 years, you know, we've really been able to come in and make a nice impact in terms of creating more residential units, converting empty buildings into viable commercial spaces and restaurants and offices, and, you know, just doing everything we can to bring back not only the historic character of our city, of our downtown, but also to rejuvenize the economic impact of our downtown. And that's the great thing about all these projects, is that you're restoring, you're preserving, you're maintaining our historic architecture, but you're also creating jobs. You're creating real permanent jobs in these places that has a real stimulus effect on, or halo effect on, the entire region.
Yeah, and if anyone's spent any time downtown recently, it's booming. I mean, you know, we've got several projects that are just Staples Pake Building is rocking and rolling. Ate breakfast down there the other day at the Ruby Slipper. If you haven't had an opportunity, that is something else. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, I haven't been there. I got to make it.
Oh, you know, you go to the one in New Orleans, there's lines around the corner, and I'd stack this one up against any of them. It's outstanding. And you have Meridian at the Point, and you're involved in the Merchants National Bank building, is that correct?
That's exactly right. So we're presently working on quite a few large projects. We have the Merchants National Bank, which is an entire square block that's going to be mixed use commercial and residential development with market rate apartments in the tower. We're working on the Siemens building, which is on the corner of Water Street and where 165 comes in. That's going to be converted to residential, and that's another thing that's been such an eyesore as a gateway building to our downtown for close to 20 years, and so it really will be nice to have something kind of complement the restoration of the GM&O building across the street, and bring back that great mid-century Art Deco building, and We've got projects on St. Louis Street. You know, we just wrapped up the Dodge building. It was an automobile dealership that is now the home of Precision Engineering. And
that is, you did
just
such
starting
a good,
now on the old Red Cross building. So
such a great job on that up. Dodge building, too, by the way. I rode by that the other day. That's fabulous. Absolutely
I appreciate
amazing.
You saying that. And that's a great example where all these buildings on St. Louis Street, you know, you have the Buick building that Rogers and Willard across the street did a great job with. And you have Oldsmobile Antiques, the Wheeler building, which is under construction right now. And all of these are 1920s automobile dealerships that really have been either vacant or underutilized for the past, you know, 40 years. And so to see the rejuvenation of that corridor with restaurants and offices and residential, I mean, it really is just incredible and something that, you know, and that's a community effort. I mean, nobody can do this alone. And so when you look at Mayor Stimson's vision for the downtown and the incentives that that we're using from the legislature that Representative Gaston was instrumental in passing for the historic tax credit incentives, and then, of course, the local property owners and developers who just believe in our downtown. It's really something special right now.
Now, the chicken and the egg question downtown has always been, and is particularly with all the growth going, when is there going to be another grocery store downtown? You know, I hear that from friends of mine that live downtown all the time.
That is a fair question, and I can confirm that there are a few developers negotiating with some regional grocery chains right now to come downtown, and then also some national pharmacy chains. So if you build it, they will come, and that's the hope anyway for downtown.
And we've been talking about, of course, we've been talking about the growth of Mobile and all these, you know, trying to stay hip, kind of. But that's got to be a tightrope to walk with all the great historical buildings, just the history of Mobile. How tough is it as a city to keep, you know, walk that line between having all this new stuff coming in but also preserving our history?
It does get complicated, and that's what our firm really specializes in, is finding that tightrope, as you said, between the old and the new, the contemporary and the historic, in that you don't want to lose the overall character of your downtown, but at the same time, if you preserve a building without changing anything and not bring it up to code, then you really can't use it. And so it's all about bringing things up to meet hurricane code, flood code, ADA accessibility, all of these kind of things, while maintaining the character of the building. So you're exactly right. It's you can't save everything, you can't preserve everything 100%, but you can preserve enough of it while bringing it up to code to make it used for modern purposes. And, you know, again, back to the Dodge building there on St. Louis Street, you know, Precision Engineering obviously is not going to be selling automobiles in there, but when you walk into that office, it feels like in a 1920s automobile dealership, but is the most modern engineering office you'll find in Mobile. And finding that balance is a lot of fun, and that's something that we really enjoy doing with our clients.
Well, and that's, you know, that's important, and it shows in the quality of work that you guys have done. I mean, if you remember flashback Mobile, you know, 1970s, 1980s, when I was growing up, you didn't go downtown after dark. Everything was boarded up and moved out, and Mobile had really, in the region, had lost the heart of the region. If you lose, you know, a healthy downtown, is no matter where you live in Mobile, even Washington and Baldwin County, a healthy Mobile, being the largest city, is an economic driver for the entire region. So when that heart was ripped out after Brooklyn Air Force Base left and downtown, and then everything moved out west, downtown declined, it was a regional problem, and so it's taken a long time to bring that back, but I think you guys are doing some amazing stuff down there. Really are.
Well, I certainly appreciate that, and we're just honored to be back in Mobile. I mean, this is my hometown, and this is a field that I've been interested in since, you know, interning with John Sledge when I was in high school, and it's really special for me to be back in Mobile doing this kind of work and preserving and, you know, making all these jobs in downtown. I mean, it's a great time to be here, and you're exactly right mentioning the closure of Brooklyn Field, the Air Force Base. You know, we finally are just about, I feel like, about to turn the corner, or have the potential to turn the corner back to where we were during that time. It's just we put a lot of eggs in that basket, and when the base closed, you know, it really had a hard impact on the downtown. You're exactly right. That's when the people started moving to Baldwin County and West Mobile and the suburbs, and But I can tell you the trend is definitely shifting. I mean, the phone calls we get from people who want to move to downtown and they want to work down there, it's really encouraging to see so much interest.
Now, you've got a little bit of something else on your plate as well, don't you? You're a candidate for the House of Representatives, so isn't that correct?
That is exactly right, and I'm running for House District 97, which does include the downtown Midtown area, in addition to quite a large district ranging all the way from Chickasaw, all the way through Mobile, down to Brookley Field, all the way to the Dog River Bridge.
That is a big district. It's a diverse district, and there's a lot of economic opportunity there, I would imagine.
There certainly is, and that's one of the reasons that I'm running, is that I see the potential for what we can do, but we're going to need an extra push from representatives in Montgomery. We're going to need the funding in Mobile that I'm seeing going to Huntsville and Birmingham right now from the legislature. And in addition to those economic development projects, whether it's relocating the airport or the I-10 bridge, expanding the port, all of these things are feasible, but only with the right leadership in Montgomery. And that's something that means a lot to me, that I take very seriously, and that I sincerely hope to be able to represent this district in Montgomery.
And I did want to ask you one thing, kind of jumping off of the politics real quick. Well, I guess it's still a very big political story around here, and we were talking about historical things here in Mobile. Of course, the big discussion over the last few weeks has been what to do with Ladd Peoples Stadium, because it holds, you know, so much history. I mean, Elvis played there. How much more historic can you get? I guess there's quite a few other places in Mobile that are much more historic, but that's what a lot of people who are arguing against changing Ladd at all. Where do you stand on the Ladd Peoples Stadium debate?
Well, you know, that's not in District 97, but I'll just say from a community development standpoint, it would be detrimental for that neighborhood to lose the activities of having athletics in the neighborhood and having that kind of culture of playing sports in the Tolmaville area. So I definitely understand the hesitation of the neighborhood to want to lose that. At the same time, there are some realities of the city budget. And so I don't understand why people have intertwined, you know, the creation of one new stadium in West Mobile to the destruction of a great historic stadium in Midtown. It seems like those are two very different conversations. But there's no question that it needs some upgrading. And, you know, before we get the wrecking ball out, I feel like we're a long way from making a decision on that. An amicable decision that helps not only the Mobile County Public School System, because they're going to be using it for football games, but, you know, also the city government and the neighborhood itself.
All right. Thank you, Stephen. Stephen McNair from McNair Historic Preservation and candidate for the Alabama House of Representatives. Thanks, Stephen. Have a great day.
Guys, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, we're coming back. More Midday Mobile coming up next. Chip Brown still in studio, taking over for Sean Sullivan. I'm Dalton Orwig, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Chip Brown and Dalton Orwig coming at you today, filling in for the great Sean Sullivan, who's taking a vacation. Dalton and I were talking about national politics during the break, about the Trump approval rating. Trump is Rasmussen poll, daily tracking, had him up around 50% today. That's quite impressive. I was reading an article this morning that Obama at that same time was around 45%.
Wow. And, you know, they always talk about the midterm elections and how they sway depending on who's in the highest office there in president. And we've seen usually the opposite party does pretty well in the midterms, whether it's just people who are ready for change, just ready to kind of switch it up a little bit. But with him having a higher approval rating, you wouldn't know. If you just watched the news, you would not think there's any chance in heck that he would have anything over like a 25% approval rating, but it's not true. He's over 50%. That's pretty good.
You know, that is pretty good because, you know, in polling, you often see where people won't actually respond. It's just – so to be at 50% is actually very good at this time in his presidency. And you've seen that effect in the Republican primaries. where candidates that the president has backed have won their primaries. We just recently had one in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
There's one in Alabama during the runoff. You had Congresswoman Martha Roby, who had backed away from the president when the president was the nominee.
Yeah.
Over some comments that he made, she backed away, and then she backtracked on that. And she had an aggressive write-in candidate against her in the last election. And this time, she had 3-4 opponents and went into the runoff against former Congressman Bobby Bright, who had been a Democrat and then saw the light and became a Republican. And by friends of mine that lived in the region, they really thought that Bobby Bright was going to win that race.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the last minute, the president stepped in, endorsed Martha Roby, and she cruised to victory.
It seems like it was just yesterday that national media were saying that was the kiss of death if Trump were to endorse you. It turns out that's not so true. The last one, I'm sure there's been some that he's lost since then, or maybe not, but you know, Roy Moore is the last one I can think of that Trump endorsed who ended up not coming out the winner. But with all the news that, I mean, it's just constant, the news that's coming out of Washington or wherever Trump is laying his head at night, and it all seems bad all the time, but I'm seeing some good stories out there too. And we just had a story from yesterday where Vice President Pence was out there and the remains of some missing American service members that were killed in the Korean War, they were returned yesterday to the United States, 55 flags draping the coffins as they and some just outstanding photographs of the men in uniform rolling those coffins, you know, back home.
And that is so important too, Dalton. That shows to me, I think as an American citizen, as a veteran, it shows that the president cares enough about the military that would be included in the discussion with Kim Jong-un and North Korea, that he return the remains of missing servicemen. You know, there were over 7,000 soldiers and airmen and Marines that went missing during the Korean War. So this is just a small drop of that, but it's an important drop because those guys have their families will finally get some answers, and hopefully it's just the start of many more to come. But it's important, symbolic, and I think it means a lot to all the veterans in the country, and it should to all Americans as well.
And you're a veteran, and thank you so much for your service.
Pleasure.
And I remember the last conversation, there might have been a few since then, but when you came on after that Bo Bergdahl situation, when they had the Rose Garden ceremony, brought Bergdahl home, and you gave us the true story of what happened there, which was just fascinating. So I know that the defense of the nation means a whole lot to you. And of course, one of the more recent stories, Senate voting yesterday on the new defense bill, $717 billion defense package headed to Trump's desk for his signature. And Senate voted 87 to 10 on that. So that's another big national news story that just came through.
Well, and defense is so important to this area. It's jobs. It's, you know, this area has a history of supporting the military through members serving and defense jobs. And I just think it's great.
Yeah, for sure. At 12:58 now, this is FM Talk 106.5. Chip Brown sitting in for Sean Sullivan. I'm Dalton Orwig, and we'll hit the news break really quickly and be right back right here on FM Talk 106.5.